Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast that's focused on spiritual warfare. Battle Plan is an ongoing discussion of how we put our faith into action. Our website is active-faith.org. Email is stevehempel1@me.com. And I'm very excited today to bring back Kirsten from part one we did last time. We're going to do part two today. And I was kind of looking at some of the notes of some of the things your family has experienced in the area of spiritual warfare. And I noticed that today we're going to be talking about a demon named Harry that communicated with one of your kids. So tell us about that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks for having me back. I'm so glad to be here.
Sure.
So where we kind of left off in the story, it was my kids had all been healed after we anointed them with oil. And then we were just feeling so on top of the world. So that next week, some scary things kind of happened before we were actually introduced to Harry. Just to give you a little bit of background before we get to that point. But what had happened is that week, some interesting things happened. My daughter was making eggs. So my 6-year-old daughter at the time was making eggs, and she's like, "Mom, I was making eggs and I turned around and all of a sudden I saw just like this black hand with really long nails. Like it went like this to just like grab my face." And she's like, "I didn't feel anything, but then it was gone." And I was like, "What in the world?" You know, and I'm thinking, okay, it has to probably be connected to spiritual warfare. Not sure. We're just going to pray about that. Kind of scary.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mentioned before the last podcast that our dog would go and bark outside the house. Well, at
Now,
night,
correct me if I'm wrong. You had anointed the house, but you still hadn't got the stakes. That's still part
correct.
of the next story. Okay, go ahead.
So we hadn't gotten the steaks yet. We had ordered them. And so she had this, my daughter had that thing with the eggs. And then there's another time during that week, my boys went downstairs. We have a living room down by their bedrooms in our basement. And my son was like, "Mom, I swear I saw someone for a split second sitting on our couch, dressed in all black." And I'm like, okay, whatever, stay calm, like it's okay. And I'm thinking we've anointed our house with oil, our kids have remained healed. And then there were some other strange things, like there was a baby gate that we have an almost 3-year-old at the time that was just resting against a coat closet. And the gate would kind of vibrate or kind of rattle a little bit for no reason. And I'm thinking, okay, we turn the heat on. Maybe the heat's making it rattle or the dishwasher's going or something, but nothing would really make it stop. It was just weird. And so there was just weird things happening. And then we could hear things like in our house, like knocking occasionally or just like the house you'd think would just settle, but maybe I was just more alert to it, but I really don't think I was. I think it was really just happening. I wasn't, you know, just kind of justifying like, well, is it, you know, the house settling, or maybe it's the heat that's making it vibrate, or whatever the case may be. So yeah, so we just were like, okay, this is really strange. But we would go outside at night because the dog would continuously bark at night. And so my husband and I would go out and we would just yell, "In the name of Jesus, flee from here and go away." And we were just like, so on, like, "Oh, you're not going to take over my house." Like, we had dedicated our house to the Lord when we built it. It's been almost 17 years now. And we had a house blessing party. So our whole church came and we blessed our house. And we have a plaque on our front door that said, you know, on what day we blessed this house to the Lord and gave it to him. And I just was thinking, they're not coming and taking my house and my, you know, this is my property. This is our house. They don't get to take it and they don't get to scare us. So I was feeling pretty confident, like yelling at the demons and like we were ready to fight. And then it got really scary. And it was my husband and I, we went to a wedding on a Friday night. And I'm telling all of our friends about this spiritual battle that we've been facing. And our kids have remained well during this whole time. And we're yelling at demons and the dog and, you know, all this weird stuff that's happening in our house. But, you know, we get home from the wedding. The next day, my husband's a farmer. And so he's out in the field. And my son and my almost 3-year-old at the time, we go and bring him dinner. And we're sitting in the car waiting for him to shut the, you know, combine off and come over to the car and have something to eat. And in the meantime, as we're waiting for him, my 3-year-old picks up this little toy phone and she says, "Hi, Harry, we'll be back soon." And I'm like, "What?" So I turn around and I say, "Olivia, who's Harry? What are you talking about?" She goes, "Harry, the guy that lives at our house." And my son, he's the one who had the Lyme disease. And he had listened to Jocko's podcast with me, you know, just the week before. So this is like a week's time frame. Okay. So listening to that podcast, my kids being healed, all this stuff, kind of weird things going on, but we were just like, we're not afraid of this. We're just fighting this battle. It's going to be okay. Awaiting the stakes, of course. And, he's like, "Mom." And I was like, "Shh, just let her talk." I'm like, "Who's Harry? What does he look like?" And she goes, "Oh, he's got red and blue hair. And he kind of looks like a girl because it's like long, but he actually is a boy." And I'm like, "This is really scary." So I didn't say anything. I just said, okay, baby, you know. And then my husband comes in and I'm trying to talk in code at this moment because I didn't really want to. He kind of moved on to something else. And so I said to my husband, I said, "Babe, you know, I said, Olivia was just telling me about an imaginary friend." And I spell, you know, the name Harry. And he turns around, he says, "What?" And she goes, "Daddy, yeah, do you know Harry?" She picked up right away. And he's like, "No, baby, I don't know who Harry is. Tell me about it." She said the same thing, red and blue hair. And he says, "Where do you see him?" "I see him in the kitchen. I see him when he sometimes comes into my room at night." And at this point now I'm pretty scared. Like now I'm like, okay, I'm feeling on top of the world, you know, for 5 days there. And now I'm feeling like I'm starting to shake because now you've got my littlest child involved.
Yeah.
And so we get home. My husband's like, "Okay, I'm going to pray with you guys. I should be home in like the next hour." He's like, we're going to pray through this and whatever. So he goes back into the combine. I take my 2 kids home. My oldest daughter at the time, she's got like a couple girls who are spending the night from church and they're all there, her homeschool buddies. And we're like, you know, I'm like, "I'm going to get the boys ready for bed." And they're making something in the kitchen, some sort of sweet treat or something. And so I go downstairs with my son and the one with Lyme disease, and it's just him and I. And he had during this week, so the week I was sharing with you about things were kind of weird, like the baby gate rattling, etc., he said, "You know, Mom, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna make a war room because that demon is not gonna keep me sick." And so he did. He went through his Bible. He had read through the whole Bible when he was sick with Lyme disease, that, you know, a couple months that he was pretty much couldn't do much. So he had a whole Bible full of highlights and tabs and all of it.
Yeah.
So he just started going through and finding his favorite verses and looking up verses online. And he just made a war room. He literally plastered God's word all over his ceiling, his wall, his door, on his bed. And he's like, "They're not going to come in my war room again." And I was like, "All right, that's great. You know, good for you." So we get home and he's like, "I'm tired. I'm ready for bed." And he was kind of shaken up a little bit about what Olivia, my littlest one, had said about Harry. But he's like, "Let's go through my war room." So we're walking through his war room, like we're reading the verses, and it's just this sweet moment. And we're reading through them and he's like, "All right, I'm going to go to the bathroom and I'm beat, you know?" So he goes over to the bathroom, which is down the hallway. And I walk down to the hallway and, you know, the door is kind of open there and he's walking towards me in the hallway and he looks at the side of the mirror and all of a sudden he falls backwards and he starts screaming at the top of his lungs. And he's got these huge crocodile tears. And I'm like, "What's wrong? What just happened?" He's like, "Mom, I saw it. I saw what I saw in my dream, the reflection in the mirror, like by the door." So there's like the mirror on one side, the door on the other, the door's kind of open and he's in between those. And he's like, I saw a demon or Satan or something. I saw him. I didn't see anything, but he did. And I'm like, "Okay, No one's staying downstairs to sleep tonight. Everyone's moving upstairs until we can figure this out. So now there's like, all these, there's like five teenage girls in my house right now that don't live at my house. And I didn't want to terrify them and have them call their parents that we've got demons in the house. And what do we do? So I grabbed the girls, they're in the kitchen, and I'm like, okay, guys, we're just gonna pray. I grabbed all my kids, my five kids, and my daughter's friends, and we all just went around and prayed and put the armor of God on and just prayed and asked the Lord for spiritual protection and that we would not be afraid. And the girls just went back to cooking, and my boys went upstairs and slept in one of the bedrooms upstairs. And I was like, okay, now I'm scared, at this point. And so it's a Saturday night. We were taking these girls to church the next morning, kind of mentioned a little bit, and they're 12, 13, whatever. And so they weren't super worried or whatever. And then we're driving to church, and our pastors at the time were in Zambia for a missions trip. And so we were like, okay, we need to share what's going on with our pastors, but they're not here. They're in Zambia. And the pastor that was there, he was doing baby dedications that morning. And so we run over to him and said, hey, can you pray with us, or can we get some counsel here? And he's like, let me grab an elder, not knowing kind of what's going on. So we pray with one of the elders and stuff, and we just pray for wisdom. It's like, okay, what do we do now? And so we prayed that with him. And then when we got home from church that day, I went on to the Active Faith website, and I was like, I'm gonna call Charlie. I
Charlie.
think there's, yeah, I didn't know her, but I knew like there was a phone number listed. And I had tried to download the PDF for the stakes, and for whatever reason, like, it would not show up on my phone or on my computer. It was like just gone. Somehow it was just gone. I could not access the PDF of like how to do your staking. And because the stakes were taking longer, what we ended up doing is we had some tent stakes, or we got some from Amazon, and we just wrote on us with a silver Sharpie so you could see it on black stakes. And we just put the verses on there because we're like, we got to stake this house and we got to stake it tonight. So that's what we did, is I called the number and I said, I need this PDF. Can you send it to me? And my son had a football game, a flag football game later that day. And so we went to that, and she happened to call me right when I got home. It was like 5 o'clock. And she's like, I heard your message. I just had to call you. We don't usually call people on Sundays, but I just heard your message and wanted to help you. And so she asked me a series of questions. And one of the questions she said to me was, have you received anything from the mission field? And that morning, earlier that morning, I remember I was in the shower and I kept racking my brain, like, Lord, what is in this house that's alluring these spirits, or what could be here that I'm not aware of? And he brought me back to this hat that I had received years ago from the church I grew up in. They had a Haitian pastor come, and our church worked with him and so forth. And I work for a cosmetic company corporately. And at the time, he had asked this missionary, he's like, hey, can I bring back a couple samples for the, women missionaries, or some of the women there, or whatever? And I was like, oh, sure, no problem. Well, as a token of thanks, he gave me this hat. Well, I never wore the hat. I couldn't even tell you where the hat was. But something in that morning, before I even talked to Charlie, just kept reminding me of this hat. And then when I talked to Charlie, she said, have you received anything from the mission field? And I was like, yeah, actually, I have it. God brought me this hat. She's like, where was it from? And I was like, oh, it's from Haiti. And she's like, from Haiti? You have something from Haiti in your house? And, we talked about that and how a lot of things from Haiti can be voodooed and so forth. And so she said, where do you think it could be? And I was like, well, it could be in a coat closet. I was like, maybe it's there. So I get off the phone with her, and we just go through a mad dash. I'm like, we got to find this. We got to find this hat. We got to find this hat. It's, mind you, it's raining outside, of course. It's already dark. We're trying to see our property. It had been a drought year, so the ground was so rock hard. And I was like, we're staking it. We have to stake it. So we did. We staked it, and we found the hat. My husband got rid of the hat. The trash pickup was coming the next day. So we put it into the dumpster. Now, I probably should have burned it, but it was also raining. And I was just like, I just need it off my property. And so we got rid of the hat. We staked the property that night, prayed over the stakes and everything, you know, that it said to do. We put it just on the four corners of our house. That night, I remember the dog going out and barking and circling the property where we put the stakes. And the next morning, or we had, and then we had other steaks, you know, too, because I think I had gotten some from Amazon and so forth. So I just started writing all these, you know, verses out, and I was putting them inside the house, underneath pillows and everything. And my almost 3-year-old at the time came in, and I had her sleeping with us during this time. And that night, she was tossing and turning. And she couldn't, you know, she's just talking in her sleep and tossing and turning. And I work from home too. And so the next morning I was working at my computer, and she wakes up, and the first thing she comes over to me and says is, "Mommy," she goes, "Harry wants that hat back." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And she's like, "He wants that hat." Now she's almost 3 at the time. She wasn't really with us when we found the hat. I mean, she might have been around somewhere, but not like directly. You know, my husband
Involved,
took care of it right away. It wasn't like, you know, but anyway, so that was the first thing she said is, "Harry wants that hat back." And I just was like, "Oh my goodness, this is so real." And then later that day, my son went out and went to go throw the football around, and the football went into some pasture. We live on an acreage, and it went into some pasture. And he walks over there to get the football, and he sees one of the stakes. There's only four stakes that we put outside, and one of them was, you know, in that pasture. And so he goes around where we had put the stakes around the four corners, and he goes, "Mom, the one outside of Olivia's room is the one that's missing." And I called Charlie back that day. I'm like, "Okay, I staked it. Like, what does this mean?" And, you know, she was like, "Get that stake reburied." And so then we were like, "Okay, we're gonna not just stake, you know, the house. We're gonna start working on staking the whole 65 acres." And we started doing, I think we did our full 10 acres within that first week. And so we started staking, and Charlie, I remember calling me that Monday or Tuesday, somewhere in there. And she just said, "You know, Kirsten, you've got to stand firm. You've got to, you know, bind these demons." And she walked me through a prayer with that, and we started doing that. And really, what was so interesting is, you know, we do this, and we were like, you know, we were pretty scared, but at the same time, we were also like, there's still a peace. But we still kept hearing things, mostly like outside the house at night that week. But my son, in his war room, there was a verse that he put in there on his door. It's from Matthew 26:53, and it's talking about when Jesus is says to Satan, "Don't you think I can send, you know, 12 legions of angels to come," or whatever. And I had this vision, I remember, of, so we had staked 10 acres, and there's a big 40-acre field that we just couldn't possibly stake in those short amount of days. And I remember having this vision of like seeing just thousands of angels, like right there in that field. And, you know, we were still hearing things, you know, knocking at, you know, in the walls. And that, you know, it was still pretty scary. And we'd taken his idea of the war room, and we had actually put Bible verses, and they're still there today. I mean, our whole basement is full of Bible verses on the wall, and we put them everywhere, on the refrigerator, we put them on the stairs, on the wall, on the ceiling. And then we started playing the Bible app, I mean, 24 hours a day. I was like, "No TV in this house, like nothing, like we just have to, like, you know, submit this house to the Lord and just have his word be echoed." And we were playing worship music and all of it, and put stakes on all the corners of our rooms and everything. And that night was the most magnificent night, because I was at kind of a loss, like, okay, we've done all the things, and we knew that they were working, but the enemy was like, he wanted to battle. I remember my dad saying, "You waged war on the enemy, and he doesn't want to just give up this fight for whatever reason." And so we prayed, and I just remember seeing this vision of these angels. And that was the most amazing night, because one by one, my kids came in and they're like, "Mom, do you hear the knocking? Do you hear the voices?" We could literally hear men wrestling. We could hear them speaking, but we didn't know what they could, what they were saying. And my kids that didn't wake up and slept through it, my one son, Isaiah, and he's such a special kid. He was sleeping upstairs, and he was hit, the window is like right outside this 40-acre field. And he comes in, he's like, "Mom, did you hear the angels? Like, did you hear the swords last night?" I was like, "The swords?" He's like, "No, I heard swords like clashing." And I really believed that God answered that prayer. Like, he sent these angels to fight this battle that we could not see, but we could hear. And as we laid in bed, you know, there was just this complete covering of head to toe peace during that time.
Wow.
And I wasn't afraid. I was like, "Okay, Lord, you got this." And I just kept going back to sleep. Every noise I heard, and it was like literally like arrows hitting the windows. I mean, you could hear a battle was happening. Felt like people were running up our stairs, wrestling. It was wild. But then since that night, we have had absolutely nothing since. I mean, it's calm, it's peaceful. And that was the battle that took place at our house. And
Wow.
since our
That's
house
a
is
powerful, powerful story. That imagery just, it kind of reminds me of the Frank Peretti and the Randy Alcorn books that discuss the unseen battle, and Daniel 10 that talks about that. And, you know, the Haiti thing with the hat, it fits. How was your daughter to know that Harry wanted it back? He told her this communication, they're after our children. They're trying to get to us through our children. And I don't know what happened on your property in the last 1,000 years, but maybe there was, you know, there was some connection to the property that has them on there. And yet God sent a garrison of angels, and you heard part of the battle. That's just such a powerful, powerful thing. We're recording some episodes for a TV show, and this would make a great episode. A lot of supernatural power in this one. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. You made your own stakes. I've always said it's not the stake, it's the act of faith and the power of the word of God. However, I always tell people I just have the coolest steaks. And I think you did get some of mine later, but that's sort of irrelevant. It's the power that is in the actual word of God, and we trust that power. We trust him. He made the planet. He has the deed. He's the deed holder. And as children of God, we're adopted into his family, and we have the right to stake our land and other important places of influence around our county, courthouses and jails and schools, etc. So, well, thank you for sharing that story. That was good. This is a great place for us to end part two. We've got some other parts. I don't know if we'll do them immediately back to back, but we'll have them in the works for soon. Thank you so much for taking the time today to be with us again. And we want to remind everybody to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you, and we love you. Have a great day.